Good morning, today is Tuesday, February 25th. Einen wunderschönen guten Morgen heute am 25. Februar. Yesterday, 3 years ago, Russia unlawfully attacked Ukraine. Anyone who knows Backstage Classical and has followed my work knows that ever since I have been paying close attention to how Putin's propaganda also influences culture. Today we have a special episode on Backstage Classical podcast. You notice already, because it's in English, my guest is conductor Carolyn Wilson. She believes in music as means of defense. She conducts at the Metropolitan Opera New York and many other international opera houses and has founded the Ukrainian Freedom Orchestra. Today she is in Warsaw in Poland performing Beethoven's 9th Symphony, which will be broadcast tonight live on Arte Television. Carolyn has Ukrainian roots and grew up in Canada in Winnipeg, one of the largest Ukrainian exile communities in the world. It's no surprise that Carolyn believes in the power of music as a form of resistance, and that's what I want to talk about, as well as about the current situation in Ukraine. Good morning, Carolyn.
Guten Tag. I'm so pleased to be here and talk with you, Axel.
Yeah, we are honored that you talk to us, even though the situation is really difficult. There will be this great concert of the Ukraine Freedom Orchestra. And if you read about this orchestra, which is a great idea, which you founded in 2022, you say that it is music as a way of defense. How do you mean that? Does that work? Is music a good defense for people?
Well, we are fighting for Ukraine on the cultural front. I consider my conductor's baton as my weapon, and that weapon is used to inspire my beloved musicians, whom I call soldiers of music. We were formed to fight for Ukraine because we have our music to express our emotions. And what Putin was initially and still is trying to do is silence. Silence Ukraine, its culture, its soul, and its language. Mm-hmm. So this orchestra is a way to express exactly what he's trying to kill.
Yeah, and it's, I think, something we had to learn as well, that music, that culture is always a part of propaganda. I mean, I have been researching that since 2022 as well. We have had lots of articles about Theodor Korenzis, artists who don't position themselves, and the role of propaganda of art. And we see how Ukrainian art has been suppressed, has not been allowed, and how in the war and through the war, there's a rediscover of the importance of the own culture of people?
Yes, they feel this more than ever because they finally have this drive and just a feeling of desperation to express what they are so great for and about. Every aspect of Ukrainian culture, its art, its poetry, its writers, and of course its music, which I'm most involved with, and with the Ukrainian Freedom Orchestra, I've recently taken up the position as the music director of the Kyiv Kamerata. This is my way to broaden the horizons of Ukrainian music outside of Ukraine.
I think there are two aspects of music as well. One is, as you say, the defense and the inner spirit of a country to prove that you have one belief, that you have the same goals, that you have the same roots, that you have the same understanding of humanity. On the other hand, as I said, it is always propaganda to show something to somebody else. How would you say, if you play, for example, Beethoven's 9th Symphony, and we as Germans know that it has been played on the birthday of Adolf Hitler, and it is the European anthem. It has been used by both systems. Do you think that there is a fight about to whom belongs humanity in music?
Well, Beethoven's 9th Symphony is probably the best piece of classical music in this world. It has a message, and that message is exactly what the Ukrainian Freedom Orchestra is fighting for. Mm-hmm. It's the power of good over evil. Mm-hmm. It's the light in the very darkest of times. The text is incredibly positive. And then with the final text on top of the music, it's just the most uplifting and inspirational piece of music that people have used to take advantage of their ambitious evilness, or in our case, I have turned the text inspired by Leonard Bernstein, who changed the Ode to Joy to Ode to Freiheit. Mm-hmm. I was inspired this when I was about to conduct it in our second tour in 2023. Mm-hmm. We had been asked as part of our rehearsal period to film this film by Larry Weinstein, a mm-hmm. documentary about Beethoven 9 called Beethoven's Ninth, which I think some of your listeners may have been aware of.
Yeah. On Arte as well, yeah.
Larry, the director, wanted to feature us in this documentary. So he said, would you be willing to perform Beethoven's Ninth Symphony? And I looked at him and I said, why aren't we singing this in Ukrainian? Mm-hmm. That would be such a powerful message mm-hmm. to Putin. It'd never been done, of course. I found a text that was sitting in some archival material of the Dumka Choir in some church in Kyiv. We worked on it for hours, and inspired by the fact that instead of Ode to Joy, Ode to Freude, Ode to Freiheit, I changed it to Ode to Slava. Mm-hmm. Of course, Slava Ukraini is the rallying call that they all say during this wartime, and Heroim Slava is the answer, glory to its heroes. So it has very extra meaning and power at this time in history, and I'm very proud that using Beethoven's Ninth as a tool to express the goodness rather than evil in humanity.
And this is very powerful, as we have heard already. But if you look back, I mean, you said it was 1 year ago. Now the times have been changing, and music is always happening in our time. So if we look back, like the last, 5 weeks or so, the US has a new president. Europe seems to be out of joint. How does that situation right now influence you? I mean, you grew up in Canada, you live in New York, you have your roots in Ukraine, you are now in Europe. Yeah. How do you see the situation between the states, these new Trump United States, and Europe and Ukraine?
Yeah, I'm prouder than ever to be a Ukrainian Canadian. You know, it's just horrifying to watch the disintegration of truth and justice and freedom. Everything that we all thrive for and have stood for so long, for it to be so fragile. And I know we'll get through this, but it takes leaders and all of us to rise up to the occasion and do whatever we can in our own power to fight for something which has happened throughout history. You know, it goes in cycles. Goodness comes out of the horror, and we're witnessing this self-destruction of what we had all built and worked so hard between North America, Europe, and you know, a couple of years ago, I was just in shock, couldn't believe that Russia was invading Ukraine. I was considering it's like America invading Canada, and here we are. I mean, it's really very difficult, very, very frustrating, and hard to grasp. So the only way I can deal with it is channeling my energy and emotions and power to do what I can. And that's always through my music. And I'm very grateful to my husband, of course, Peter Gelb, head of the Metropolitan Opera, and to Waldemar Dabrowski of the Polish National Opera, and all the Ukrainian ministers of culture and minister of Polish culture. Everybody's been so supportive. And
But isn't that the problem we are having? Sorry, Carolyn.
Yeah.
But isn't that the problem? We all agree on that. We all agree on the humanity in Beethoven. We all agree on the same values. But the language
we don't all agree. Well,
we do, you know, but the language we are speaking seems to be not understood. If I see the campaign of Donald Trump and he is talking about Luciano Pavarotti and has this tenor there and sings YMCA, it's a complete buyout of culture, you know. Do they actually understand us? I mean, don't we talk two different languages now?
I'm afraid so.
Isn't it frustrating? Because we are doing our music, you know, and we are so convinced of what we are doing, but the others, they don't, give a damn whatsoever.
That's right. So we have to fight.
What do we do there? Play Beethoven and force them to listen to it? Do we believe in Beethoven still? Yes, we do.
we inspire audiences by performing Beethoven 9, and that I think that they feel the goodness and the beauty, and that's a good thing. We're enlightening audiences and inspiring them for what is true and what is a symbol of resistance and
yeah, and you have the orchestra. I mean, the orchestra is from people from all over the world.
The majority are Ukrainians who live in Ukraine, and the rest are Ukrainians, either refugees who had fled the start of the invasion, and those Ukrainians who are already from established orchestras in Europe.
How is the atmosphere during the rehearsals now? I mean, is music something which helps the people? Is that something which
calms them? It's definitely the cliche, it's medicine for the soul. This orchestra for these musicians is a way for them. They feel very empowered by their voices on stage and how we can reach out to audiences and still show that we can't stop supporting Ukraine until it's free and its democracy has been restored. And so these musicians feel that playing together, it carries that message, it empowers them. But at the same time, it is healing because there's so much suffering. These musicians, each one has a story. Some whose cousins have died fighting, definitely whose friends have died fighting. Some are from Mariupol, some are from Kharkiv. They left everything, nothing they had. You know, it's a tragic, tragic situation for so many of them. And so it makes them feel, we embrace each other.
But Karin, probably the atmosphere within the orchestra has changed now as well, because as we see, the great ally from the US made a 180-degree flip. The war seems to be, more and more difficult at the moment. Is there still a glimpse of hope within the orchestra, or do you see this growing despair?
There's definitely hope, and they thank me for providing that hope. The one thing they haven't lost is hope.
How did you experience that in the States? I mean, as you have said already, your husband, Peter Gelb, made quite clear who can sing at the Metropolitan Opera and who not. You have a strong voice within the States as well as an artist. How do you see the controversy there? Do you get lots of support, or do you as well see, and which would be good, that art kind of challenges the conflict as well and makes people think about the situation?
Yes. I mean, there's so much I try to do also in America to raise awareness of Ukraine. 2 months ago, I gave my New York Philharmonic debut, and I was performing Shostakovich's 10th. And it was a very powerful way for me to express my desire to show that the strength of Shostakovich, he is one of my idols. His music, he was somebody who lived through exactly what Ukrainians are living through, this oppression. He lived in terror, in sheer terror of being thrown to the gulag. Anyway, during the election, I was in Canada. Canada is quite divided also recently, and it just pulled us all together. And it's a really hard time. But what I do is I carry my message for Ukraine wherever I am. Yeah, I'm 100% in with Ukraine till the day I die. My mission will be to help rebuild, of course, and I can help with the cultural institutions and symphonies and opera houses, you know, that it thrives again. This is my goal.
And you can be sure that we in Europe see and especially hear your work, and that we stand behind it, and that it encourages us as well to see on which side we stand, and that we don't leave the most precious thing we have, the classical music, to the suppressors, but that it serves freedom and liberty. Thank you very much.
And we're so grateful for Arte to be broadcasting our concert from Warsaw, because it does give so much consolation and hope to the Ukrainian musicians that Europe is behind them, and culturally and the good people, will always be there.
I wish you all the best for the concert. I wish you all the best for the future of Ukraine, and Slava Ukraina. Thank you very much.
Heroim Slava. Thank you so much, Axel. All the best.
Ja, Carolyn Wilson war das, die Dirigentin, über die Situation in der Ukraine, über die Bedeutung der klassischen Musik und über das Konzert, das heute aus Warschau bei Arte übertragen wird. Schaltet doch mal rein, hört es euch an. Vielleicht ist auch das in dieser Welt, in der wir gerade sind, für euch ein bisschen Mut und mutmachend und vielleicht ein Funken Hoffnung für das, was kommen könnte. Ich wünsche euch einen schönen Dienstag. Wenn ihr wollt, hinterlasst doch eine Bewertung, abonniert unseren Channel, damit ihr keine Folge verpasst. Und für alltägliche Classic News schaut einfach vorbei bei backstageclassical.com. Haltet die Ohren steif, macht's gut, bis dann.